So I want to just share a couple things with you tonight. This, for those of you that don't know, this is the relaunch of Heaven's Invasion. Can I get a praise? And we're just so thankful that we are able to do this, and because, you know, we love the local church. We love the local church. We're just bored with it. Sorry. No. We're put it a better way. We're bored with church as usual. Alright? And so we like to come and just let the Lord have his way. Alright? And that's what we're all about. And I wanted to share something with you tonight that will help you explain some of the things that we're doing here and what God wants us to understand about why we're doing what we're doing here. How many of you know that God is not afraid of explaining things? Okay? We don't necessarily have to understand stuff, because sometimes he just says, do it, because I'm God. You like my deep voice? I got a scratchy voice tonight. I'm not going to really sound like the voice of God. Thank you. All right. Everybody, please turn in your apps to John chapter 5. Because I know ain't none of you have got your paper Bibles with you. Oh, really? Oh.
Mama nearly bought a Bible.
We do have some traditional folks. No, that's good.
Mama
Millie
bought a Bible because my cell phone was acting up.
Oh, okay. So yes, whether you have your real Bible or your fake app, I don't know, it's a real Bible. Just turn into chapter 5 of the Gospel of John. And I want to just read some of these verses and talk to you a little bit tonight. Verse 1 says, after these things, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is in Jerusalem, by the sheep gate, a pool, which is called in Hebrew Bethesda, having 5 porticos. In these lay a multitude of those who were sick, blind, lame, and withered, waiting for the moving of the waters. For an angel of the Lord went down at certain seasons into the pool and stirred up the water. Whoever then first, after the stirring up of the water, stepped in, was made well from whatever disease with which he was afflicted. A man was there who had been ill for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there, he knew that he had already been a long time in that condition, and said to him, do you wish to get well? The sick man answered him, sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. But while I'm coming, another steps down before me. Jesus said to him, get up, pick up your pallet, and walk. Immediately the man became well and picked up his pallet and began to walk. Now, it was the Sabbath that day, so the Jews were saying to the man who was cured, it is the Sabbath, and it is not permissible for you to carry your pallet. And so he basically said, well, the guy that healed me told me I can carry my pallet, and we'll pick up a little bit more on this. I want to share something with you that the Lord showed me a number of years ago, that the things that Jesus did can be viewed, many of them, maybe all of them, I don't know, I haven't figured this out completely, but many of the things that Jesus did were actually prophetic acts. That he just didn't, you know, do things on a random basis, okay, I'm going to go over here and heal. Especially in the book of John. In the book of John, the miracles that he performed, the things that he did, there is significant prophetic revelation to be unearthed in those particular events. Maybe I'll be teaching more on this in the year ahead, but let me share this with you. Here's what's happening. Jesus had gone up to Jerusalem for the Passover, and, you know, stuff was happening there because he started it. He was flipping over tables and generally making a nuisance of himself because of what they were doing in the temple. Okay? From there, he goes to Cana in Galilee, but he has to go through Samaria, and that's where he meets the Samaritan woman who had 5 husbands and was living with a guy, and she became his first foreign evangelist. Remember that story? right? The whole place is turned out to see Jesus because of her testimony about what happened, right? So from there he goes to the Cana of Galilee, and then from there, it says, after these things, in verse chapter 5, there was a feast of the Jews. What feast, Gary, comes after Passover? Pentecost. Exactly. So he decides he's going to go back up to Jerusalem. And at this time, he sees this pool, right? He goes by this pool, which has, there's these five covered porches. It says five porticos in my version. I'm not sure what yours says. But basically, it's these five covered areas in the wall, right? And people would stay there under the shade, you know, the protection of these walls, and wait for an angel to come and stir up the water. Right? That's what we just read about. If you got into the pool first, you won. And you got healed. Okay? So, Jesus comes and sees this guy, and he walks over to him and says, "You want to be healed?" And how silly. Right? The guy's been sick for 38 years. And Jesus asks him, "Do you want to be healed?" Why? Why would Jesus ask this man, "Do you want to be healed?" Anyone know? Huh? Confession? In what way? Okay. Yeah. This guy had no faith. Let's be honest. This guy had zero faith. And it's important that we realize that he had zero faith. Okay? Here's what the Lord showed me. Okay? This sheep gate is where they brought the sheep in for sacrifice. Alright? So it's a pretty important gate. The pool called Bethesda means house of mercy. House of mercy. So here we've got an environment of mercy. And we have these five porticos, these five porches. Five is the number of grace. So we've got an environment of grace where people are covered by grace, where they're in a place of God's mercy, where they can be touched. But only if they happen to win the lottery, right? When the angel comes down. Jesus comes into the scene and he sees this guy. And he comes up to him and speaks to him, "Do you want to be healed?" Here's the prophetic stuff. This is what the Lord showed me about this whole thing. Okay? This guy was sick for 38 years. That's a long time. Now, when God includes specific information like that in the scriptures, it's just not some random trivia. You know, "Well, the Lord just wanted us to know that the man was sick for 38 years. No. Does anybody know where else we see or read of a time period of 38 years?
Wasn't that the lady with the issue of the blood?
No. That wasn't 38 years. Yeah. Somebody do me a favor and look up Deuteronomy 2:14. Because I don't want to take the time to do it on my app. Deuteronomy 2:14. And when you have it, read it loud. Thank you for that King James Version. Does someone have a modern version?
From the time he first left Kadesh Barnea until he finally crossed the Jordan River. By then, all the men old enough to fight in the battle had died in the wilderness as the Lord had vowed would happen.
Okay. 38 years was how long it took for the Egypt generation in Israel to all die.
Oh my goodness.
What does that represent prophetically? It represents your and my old nature.
Wow.
Okay? Because that generation, which had been so immersed in the culture of Egypt, represents the old nature, where we're you know, we're affected and impacted by the world before we come to Jesus.
Yes.
But once you become a born-again Christian, your old nature is dead. So this incident was significant prophetically because it was showing that Jesus was declaring, your old nature is going to die.
Amen.
This man who was in bondage for 38 years was set free from his bondage by Jesus. Now check this out. How many dozens of people were there that day who were just as sick as that guy? And Jesus never healed them. What is up with that? Why? How could Jesus simply focus his attention on one person and ignore everybody else? That doesn't sound like God. Here's what God showed me. We are now in a season where God wants to show you who has a target on them that He's put on them. God, do you know that God puts targets on people? He puts targets on people. He says, see that one right there? They need to know that I love them. You see that one over there? They need healing. And so God paints a target on people, and if we choose to, He'll show us who has a target. Now, in the same chapter, I'm not going to read it because I want to worship. In the same chapter, Jesus is talking to the Pharisees, and they're challenging Him. How dare you heal this man on the Sabbath and make Him carry his pallet? Oh my gosh. Right? Religion always shuts down the move of God, or tries to. Okay? And He says, I only do what I see my Father doing. And I only say what I hear Him say. And if you scroll down to verse, I think it's 17 or 18. No, verse 17. You know, it says in verse 16, for this reason the Jews were persecuting Jesus because He was doing these things on the Sabbath. But He answered them, my Father is working until now, and I myself am working. Now, here's something so cool. People read this, and they think Jesus is just talking about Himself. Right? Oh, that was Jesus. You know, Jesus was working the works of His Father while He was on the earth, right? But what did Jesus say in chapter 14 of John? The works that I do, you will do also, and by the way, greater works than these will you do. But here's the key. The Father is working now. See, in the Greek, it says the Father continually, constantly, never stops working.
My version says my Father is always working.
He's always working, exactly. He's always working. And Jesus said, and I, in like manner, working too. Okay? Now, who's living in us?
Jesus.
Hello.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, this is what the Lord's after, guys. Okay? If we had time, and maybe Tom, I want to give you some time next time you come. Tom has some awesome testimonies of how God showed him targets when he would go to the doctor.
Wow.
Okay? And just the wonderful testimonies he has of how God touched people. God wants us to be equipped,
amen,
trained, and released outside these four walls,
amen,
to see the targets that He's painted on people and be willing to say, yeah, you know what? I'm going to get that target. I'm going to hit that target with the love and the power of God. And an encouraging word from the throne room, from the heart of Father. Okay? So, how do we kind of get used to this? And because let's be honest, right? We all feel like, yeah, I could do that. Oh, man, I'm getting up here. But then you get out there, it's like, come on, let's be real. Right? We get a little scared. So what's the answer? Here's the answer. Heaven's invasion. When you come to Heaven's Invasion, from 6 to 7 o'clock, what we want to do is we want to release a Holy Ghost whirlwind, a ministry party in this place, where you can say, okay, Papa, show me the target.
It's target practice.
It's target practice. Exactly. So here's the deal. Anybody comes through that door is fair game. Okay? Anybody that comes through that door, you cannot escape being blessed. Okay? Because we're just not going to let you be. You know, let me put it this way. If you leave Heaven's Invasion without getting something, it's your fault. Because this is going to be an atmosphere where we simply are letting the Lord move through us. Okay? I shared this with my team earlier today. The season is, listen to me now, the season for waiting on God to move is over. God said, if you don't move, it's not going to happen. If you don't step out, I'm not going to move. Because, see, we're all growing in God to where we understand this. And we can be willing to give it a try. This is a safe place. Okay? Let's just say for a minute that I feel like God's giving me a word for somebody and I go to them and I'm totally wrong.
Get your money back.
Absolutely nothing. Get your money exactly. Refunds are gladly given. You know. But you know what's going to happen? Absolutely nothing. No one's going to laugh. No one's going to get upset. No one's going to sit you down until you get yourself together. Let me figure out some kind of punishment, though. No, we're here to learn. We're here to encourage one another. Okay? So if somebody does that and they miss it, just say, you know, I thank you so much for wanting to come and share, but that was a little off. Okay? And those of us that value the voice of God, you know what that means? It means, okay, Lord, show me where I screwed up. Because I don't want to do that again. You know, we're all learning in this thing. So I want to encourage you that if God's drawing you to Heaven's Invasion, get here at 6 and practice. So that when you're out there, whether it's on your job or in your neighborhood or shopping or whatever, Holy Spirit can say, oh, there's a target. Yeah! How many of you want to do that?
Amen.
Amen. Father, you see our hearts. You see the desire that we have to represent you in all the goodness that you are. And so, God, we just say yes. Come on, just say yes to the Lord. If we're going to do this thing, we're going to let you have your way and to touch people through us for your glory. In Jesus' name. Amen. That's awesome, isn't it?